Well, for the second year in a row, a couple of the seminarians, including myself, tried to make finals week not so dreary. So last Saturday, we kind of took over the kitchen in Father King's rectory to bake tons of Christmas cookies. And I'm sure everyone's pretty familiar with the process. We began by making the dough and then started the endless process of rolling the dough, cutting the cookies, baking, cooling them, decorating them, and then just repeating over and over and over, because inevitably when you're making sugar cookies, you always think you have too little dough, and it turns out that somehow, like Jesus multiplying the loaves, you've got baskets of leftover cookies. And by the end of it, I don't know if it was just all the cookie making or if it was all of the uncooked dough that I had consumed, I was exhausted. And I looked around as we're decorating the cookies, and the three of us just had these awful looks on our face. I mean, all the coffee in the world that we consumed really wouldn't have changed anything. We looked awful. We were just absolutely tired, absolutely exhausted between these cookies and the impending doom of finals. But I think at some point, as we're getting ready for Christmas, we all kind of get this way where we just feel exhausted, where we've been going at it, whether it's cooking, baking, shopping, the kids' parties, our own parties, or even maybe helping with the St. Vincent de Paul food distribution that we had earlier today, that we just get exhausted, that we get tired. By the end, we're only a few days away from Christmas, and we're wiped out. We're ready to kind of just get on to the new year and ready to start afresh. That we're just tired. And we get at this point, and we're really a far cry from what we hear in the gospel today. We hear of this overwhelming joy in the gospel as Mary goes out to the hill country a few days away from where she was in Nazareth and greets her cousin Elizabeth, who's also pregnant. You have this interaction between these two women who are both pregnant, and you can just imagine what that would have been like, the overwhelming joy in that encounter. I know about this time last year in the school, there was, maybe like four or five teachers or administrators who were pregnant. And the joy that was there was unbelievable. Just as they would talk about what lays ahead for their children, that they were just overcome with this sense of joy of new life. And that's what Mary and Elizabeth are doing. They're incredibly happy at what the Lord has done for them. And you can hear it in Elizabeth's voice as she talks about the infant, John, in her womb, leaped for joy. And you wonder, maybe this is, at the sound of Jesus' voice, this is the first time that Elizabeth felt John the Baptist in her womb. That she who was called barren, who figured she would never have kids, that she was beyond those years, now she feels for the first time her son alive in her womb, and the joy that would have brought her would be indescribable. And she says that he leaps for joy at the sound of Mary's voice because he knows that Jesus is there, that this joy comes when Jesus is present. So there's joy in John's leap, and in Elizabeth's voice you can hear it. And then you also see in Elizabeth this kind of sense of awe that she says, how can this be? How is this possible that the mother of my Lord comes to greet me? She's got a sense of incredulity about the whole thing, that it's incredible that all of this is happening to her. And for us, as we reflect on the entire mystery of Christmas, this sense of awe has to overcome us. We think about what's happening, that God himself, who created the world, who animates everything living, who called the prophets, who called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who constantly was with the chosen people of Israel, becomes man. We celebrate the incarnation. Get the word carne, basically a carnivore, that Jesus Christ, God, becomes flesh. He becomes man. And you think about the mystery that is, that God cares so much about each and every one of us individually, that he takes on our own human flesh, that he becomes one of us to come out and to seek us. And so often in any other religion, that it's about us trying to find God, that it's about us trying to find God in our daily life. But in Christianity, and on Christmas morning, the script is completely flipped. That no, it's not about us finding God. It's about Jesus Christ coming to find us. That he realizes that we're in need of redemption. That he knows that we're broken, that we're tired, that we get depressed. And he's going to come find us. He's going to come on this rescue mission to seek you, to seek me personally. That he wants to come and find us. And that is something to be in awe of. That God loves us so much that he'd enter into our world to find us individually. That's something to marvel at. And it's this marvel that happens at the meeting of Mary and Jesus with Elizabeth and John that just gives us joy. That we want to have that same joy by the time Christmas gets here in a few days. That we want to have the joy and the awe, the happiness and the wonder at everything that happened. And we're not going to get this from maybe hearing our favorite Christmas carols or from slaving away, but in peace. In the depths of our hearts, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, that's where this joy, that's where the wonder is going to come from. And that's what we want to have come Christmas morning, come Christmas Eve night, that we've met Jesus Christ and we know the joy that he comes to bring. We know the wonder at what God's doing. So as we're going about these last couple days, whether we're seeing all the nativity scenes next door as we have the open house of the rectory later this evening and tomorrow morning, to see the joy on the faces of all those little figures of the nativity, whether it's the shepherds, whether it's Mary's look at her sons in these nativity scenes where she just can't believe the goodness of the Lord, that we try to find that sense of wonder, that sense of joy that the Lord wants us to have on Christmas. And maybe one of the things we can do in these next couple days is to take some quiet time to pray and to meditate on the first two chapters of Luke's gospel. Luke's gospel, the first two chapters, start with the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist, all the way up through Jesus' birth and Jesus being presented in the temple. But to maybe read these two chapters again, read them slowly, meditate on them, because it's the mystery that we're celebrating at Christmas, that God becomes man, that he enters into our world, he becomes flesh to redeem us, to save us, to fix the brokenness of our own lives, that the Lord comes to us to save us completely out of love. And it's the same Jesus Christ who comes tonight at this altar, at this Mass, to join himself with us and to start our lives anew.